Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning. Right about now, as of this recording, it's 6:15. That's a.m. here in Utah. All the cows are getting up. That's right, my friends. It is around 6:16 a.m. on Saturday, June the 5th, 2021. But if you're listening on shortwave radio, it might very well be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or it could also be 3 a.m. UTC the next day. We're time travelers in the shortwave radio, and this would be WRMI, out of Miami Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz, from the Great Swamp. Those creatures and their minds and their tentacles will find you. They will find you in the night. They will find you. They're looking for you in that pile of junk. Yeah. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, a really good quote from Dr. Freckles. Complexity is a bitch that carries shuriken covered in monkey shit. That's right, complexity. Complexity carries a shuriken covered in monkey poop. What does that mean? Well, I'm not going to get into a lot of complicated mathematics. I'll leave it to you, my friends, to research the Poisson curve and the mathematical definition of failure in a system. But here's the deal. Given enough time, given enough complexity, stuff just fails. It just does. I mean, you can put in the upkeep. You can change the oil. You can change the oil. But even glass, over time, behaves like a liquid. You can change the oil. You can fix the spark plugs. But even that metal turn to dust. Yeah, no matter what you do, everything does turn to dust, but ultimately, there are really silly things that people do, really silly, crazy, insane things we humans do. One of those insane things that we do is we create empires. We create governments and empires and police departments. We create a Department of Agriculture to tell us what food to eat, right? We create an FDA to tell us even furthermore what food to eat. That makes sense. We create departments of education to tell us what our kids should think. We create a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to tell our children what to drink and what to shoot and what to smoke. But even if these were good things to do, and they're not, they're not. They're terrible things. You should leave people alone. If there's a first rule of ecology, if there's a first rule of what should be, leave the system alone. Don't pretend you're God. And if you're an atheist, don't make yourself God, because that's kind of a contradiction. Leave it alone. If there was anything I could tell people with respect to my own environmentalism and my own belief in liberty, is that absent a free world, this world will become poisoned. Humans are perfectly capable of living in harmony with their environment. Central bankers, not so much. Central bankers want armies and empires and everything bigger and bigger and bigger until every other living thing and every other human being is suffocated. But the thing about building all these things that the central bankers wanted to build and did build, and they did, folks, if there was ever a reset, it happened in 1945, perhaps 1913. But we've had the global government. It brought you the monkey herpes. It brought you the race war. It brought you pain. Anyways, that's the quote from Dr. Freckles. Complexity is a harsh mistress that carries shuriken covered in monkey poop. I edited a little for the FCC, but if you're listening on 5950 kilohertz, WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the great Okeechobee down to the Everglades, blah, 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 blah. If you want to get the notes for this podcast broadcast, go to Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie. .org/show notes. That is Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie .org/show notes. And all the Dr. Freckles quotes and all the crazy notes, everything but what pops out of my mind after drinking 16 bottles of Wild Turkey. Next topic, here's a famous quote from Dr. Freckles. It's from the second Hegelamite Witch War, where Dr. Freckles won the Order of Merit. Yes, in the year 7949 BC, Boblimpdoc, Dr. Freckles led an army of swarthy and healthy and bare-chested men against the lesbian female armies of the Hegelamite witch clan. This battle was near Austin, Texas. It was terrible and mighty. It was written about for over 70 trillion years. Yes, before the great battle, Dr. Freckles brought forth his swarthy and dusky and well-tanned but muscled lieutenants who were not wearing shirts. And he explained the great battle against the lesbians who were sweaty and busty, who had really nice butts and their hair was okay. And even though they had very little technology, for some reason they were well shaved. And Gorgon Crew, his first lieutenant, said, "Dr. Freckles, when shall we fight the busty lesbians? Because I'm getting excited." And Dr. Freckles said, "Listen, buddy, if not now, then maybe next week." And that is, you know, the famous quote in Dr. Freckles from that great battle, "If not now, then maybe next week." Because you know that famous quote, "If not now, you know, then when," or whatever. And I would have to say, "Doctor, no, you know what, buddy, if not now, then maybe next week. Why do today what you can put off till the day after that? Why do tomorrow what you can do next week? Why do this year what you can solve in 100 years? Yep. Next topic. Next quote. I've got a few Dr. Freckles quotes here. "Folly one survives is funny. The folly one survives is funny." This has been stated by Dr. Freckles in different ways before. In fact, we've discussed this before. And so if it sounds like a broken record, maybe the reason why I'm emphasizing this is because, especially for Christians right now, people of faith, people that believe in Jesus, people that believe and know that Jesus loves us. And if you haven't said a prayer for yourself, that's okay. In a while, do that. If you haven't said a prayer for the people you love, it's okay, but you should go do that. For those of you that are not Christians, that's okay too, but you should remember this life is what it is. And if you are lucky enough to survive a near miss, that can be funny and probably should be. In fact, maybe a lot of the problem with PTSD is that, well, and I don't know how to put this, we're not allowed to laugh. And I know that sounds bad, like, Dan, how can you laugh at terrible things like Colonel Kurt stuff and going to Vietnam and having a necklace of human ears? I don't think that's funny. I don't think that's humorous. I don't think concentration camps are funny. And I definitely don't think the hydrogen bomb is funny. But we got two choices when it comes to tragedies and problems in this world. We can cry or we can laugh. So maybe I'll put it this way. When we deal with trauma, we need to do one or the other. And I would say do both. Do both. At some point, the worst and most disgusting things you can imagine, including watching somebody you love die of stage 4 cancer, which, yeah, is kind of terrible. And the only reason why that's a first world problem is because in poor countries, usually when the first catastrophic effect of stage 4 hits somebody, they just die. But here in America, you can extend the torturous death of stage 4 cancer, which might kill somebody in a month, to 6 months, maybe even a year of pain. But Dan, that's a year of spending time, I know, with loved ones. If you're a loved one of somebody who died of stage 4 cancer, you probably don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you, it's okay to cry and it's okay to laugh. Maybe not in that order. It's okay to see the absurdity, and it's okay to recognize that whether it's a mistake of our own or some crappy chemical company or just reality or maybe a cosmic ray burst from space that you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong pulsar, whatever it is that caused it, you need to let that go because it happened. It's over. Folly one survives is funny is not because terrible things are funny or mistakes are funny. It's not funny to necessarily go skiing, go down the wrong ski trail. I think the color's black, right? And I hope that's not racist. But I remember when I was a kid, they would color code the ski trails like red, yellow, green, and I believe black was another color. Is that racist? Anyways, from what I recall, either red or black were like the worst trails to go down. And so you're going down a ski trail. You choose to go down one that's too hard. It's too steep. You're going too fast. You go down a little tiny cliff. You bust your arm. You bust your leg. You're in the snow. If no one helps you in the next couple of hours, you're going to die because you're also unconscious and you're slowly losing heat. Is that funny? Do you cry? I mean, you're unconscious. In your head, like the U.S. economy between 2009 and 2019, in your head, you're at the chalet. In your head, you're hanging out with underwear models, busty ones. In your head, you're drinking a dirty martini at the chalet. But in reality, your body is conserving heat towards the core. Your fingers and toes are slowly getting frostbit, despite the fact that you spent $300 at REI on really fancy cold weather gear. It's not really helping you because you're in a snowdrift. And no matter what you're wearing, you are going to slowly lose heat and you will slowly die. Is that funny? Is that folly? Did you make a bad decision so a bad thing happened? Or is it just the case that bad things just sometimes happen? They do. I tell people, read the book of Ecclesiastes, and they look at me with these glazed over eyes, and they recall a time for this and a time for that they read at the funeral or the wedding. Well, folks, that's just one little part of the book of Ecclesiastes. You have to read the whole thing. Yeah, there's a time for this and a time for that, but there's also a time for recognizing that everything other than the Lord in heaven, everything here in non-Eden land, this is not paradise, folks. We were kicked out of paradise. I'm not saying this is all crap, because it's not, but it's also not paradise. The book of Ecclesiastes is about the fact that, yeah, it is good to have faith in the Lord. It is good to live a good life. But this life is a mess. And we make mistakes, and sometimes really bad things happen. And we are living in a period of human history where terrible things are happening to a lot of people. And some of these things might be mistakes. And I think a lot of these things are deliberate actions of evil. I do. I don't care if you believe in Hanlon's razor or not. I would contend that nobody really knows the breakdown between mistakes and evil. But because we don't, we have to use our intuition, or as many of us Christians would say, discernment. Next topic. The craziest pessimist in the world is the one that says, don't give up. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. "The craziest pessimist in the world is the one that says don't give up, and yet I mean it." Dr. Freckles. Dr. Freckles is a pessimist. Most clowns are. Most real clowns are not evil clowns. They're not John Wayne Gacy clowns. They're not these juggalos that terrorize suburban moms in Chicago. Most real clowns, working clowns, live their lives to bring smiles. But often what's inside is nothing but an empty hole. Yeah, so Dr. Freckles, the craziest pessimist in the world is the one that says don't give up, and yet I mean it. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. I'm a pessimist, pretty much, in a lot of ways. I think people classify me as one. I'm not sure that pessimism and optimism are what we think they are. I think one needs to be careful about what you're optimistic about. I am certain, there were people, German people, in 1933 that were really, really optimistic about this really cool guy named Adolf Hitler. I'm sure there were Germans in 1933 who were really kind of excited about this really hip guy, Adolf Hitler. And sure, he says these terrible things, but he can't possibly mean it. And we really love that Volkswagen bug. You know, Volkswagen means people's car. Yeah, there were Germans in 1933 who were probably really, 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 really optimistic about Adolf Hitler. Now, again, do we applaud the optimism? I don't know. But you need to be careful about what you're optimistic about. You really do. And then there are people who are pessimistic about things that are probably good things, but they're just afraid of change. There are a lot of people today who masquerade as optimists, but in reality, they're afraid of change. They tell you, oh, the Federal Reserve's going to be okay, the dollar's going to be okay, my Fannie Freddie home flipping miracle system will keep going, Home Depot will always have lumber, Chevron will always have gasoline. What are you being optimistic about? If you're one of these people who's telling me, Dan, everything's going back to normal now, everything's going to be fine, it's like October 2019. Everything's okay. Was it really? Like that stranded skier. His head at the chalet. His dick in magical underwear model vagina. But in reality, the stranded skier slowly dying. Yeah. Oh, folks, we need to be really careful about what we're optimistic about, okay? And if you're one of these guys who says, I'm a pessimist because I don't want to say it's all going to go back to normal and it was just a big dirty robbery, God bless if it was just a big dirty robbery, because if that's all it was, their system is falling apart. That's good news. We are on the verge of a quote-unquote Berlin Wall moment for the U.S. Empire. If what you say is true, that Berlin Wall moment is months away, maybe even weeks. But what if that's not true? What if in fact, we have been going through one of the biggest coordinated military psychological warfare operations in human history, and ding, 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 it's not over. Yeah, there might be a pause, because I don't think they control the schedule. Whatever the schedule of the big whatever it is, they had a window of time, maybe their supercomputer in 1997 Boblimpdoc, their Cray 17, the one, the secret one the aliens gave them. Maybe their Cray 17, the secret one the aliens gave them, told them in the year 2019, there is a 97% probability that the window of destruction begins. And so they had to pull the trigger. Whatever it is, it's coming by. It won't be friendly. It won't be friendly. Maybe, I don't know. All I can say is be careful what you're optimistic about. Next topic, another quote from Dr. Freckles, but it's relevant. There is always an overpriced restaurant at the end of a dead-end road. There is always an overpriced restaurant at the end of a dead-end road. And I mention this because we've all been on vacations or trips or adventures to various regions of the planet Bo Blimp Doc, and we've seen things. We've seen strange things. I remember going to Homer, Alaska once, and it was awesome. I went fishing for halibut. It was great. But there's this big, long spit, or this, you know, this point you can drive out on. And the deeper and farther you go in the summertime, the more crowded it is with tourists and crazies and freaks. And at the end of the road, there's always a restaurant, and there was. I forget the name of it. That's how much I loved it. I had a cheeseburger that tastes like fish. I had a beer that tastes like cheeseburger. Again, a quote from Dr. Freckles, there is always an overpriced restaurant at the end of a dead-end road. And I don't think that's accidental. There are all these dead-end roads in life, or these weird roads, these not necessarily dead-end, but not well-traveled roads that have vistas, scenic vistas, beautiful stops. Take a picture. Hey, is that some guy with a broken arm trying to load a chair into the back of his Volkswagen Bug? He's just so handsome. My name's Ted. Will you help me put this chair in the back of my Volkswagen Bug? Why, yes. I really love your hair. Yeah, wherever you go, next topic. Always a Ted Bundy. It's beautiful here, but be careful. Be careful about the beauty. Sometimes that's the sweetness that pulls you into the poison. Be careful of the scenic vistas, because there could be a Ted Bundy with his Volkswagen Bug, with that fake broken arm, ready to tear you apart at every scenic vista. Every beautiful national park, everywhere Ansel Adams took his fake pictures. Everywhere Ansel Adams took his fake pictures. Yeah, he took some great pictures. Too bad a lot of it wasn't just old-timey special effects, right?
Dan, that's still art. That's still photography.
I know it's still photography. But it's also still bullshit, you know. And that's important that we recognize that. It's kind of like right around the time of O.J. Simpson. I think it was Time magazine decided that he looked too white or something. So they made him look more black. And then it was like, oh boy, this is racist. You know, it's racist. That's right. So maybe that's art. Maybe it's art, like Leni Riefenstahl. Leni Riefenstahl, the great artist of time. She was a friend of Adolf Hitler. She was a blonde woman. Leni Riefenstahl, triumph of the will. She was on the pill, having sex with Albert Speer. Yeah, I don't know if they did do it, but maybe they did. Maybe they did. Maybe Albert Speer, Reichsminister for Economic Affairs, and Leni Riefenstahl, the beautiful, blonde, great filmmaker, film actress, director, creator, artist, right? And maybe it's okay that Time magazine made O.J. Simpson look more black. And maybe it's okay that Ansel Adams made his pictures look cooler. I mean, he didn't have Photoshop. So that's pretty cool. Those old photographers knew how to do some crazy ass shit, man. I'm just gonna say that up front. I know OSHIT, FCC has declared a national alert. Dan saying SHIT. FCC, you can go to Boblimtok. Go to Boblimtok and have yourself a Boblimtok. Meet with the 17 ministers of Boblimtok and then find rebar and shove it up your Boblimtok. Boblimtok, UFCC. Boblimtok, you, and a Boblimtok upon you. Next topic, Dr. Freckles. In the fiat world, the world of central banks and fiat currency, it's not prices. It's functors. In the world of printed money, it's not about the prices, it's about the functors. What do I mean, my friends, as I scratch my back with a plumber's hammer? I don't know. What do I mean? What do I mean as I beat myself with a tack hammer, silly? Well, this is what I mean. Our system does a really good job of hiding inflation currently. It's been doing a really good job of that pretty much since the 70s. And one of the chief architects of hiding inflation is a man by the name of Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan, who told you that hamburgers steak. Alan Greenspan that redefined unemployment so people that are unemployed after 6 months simply disappear. They simply go away. They're un-people, not unemployed. The numbers look better, President. They look much better if you simply say they're discouraged workers. Alan Greenspan is the guy, in my opinion, most responsible for keeping this neo-Stalinist, you know, Boblimtok nightmare going. In so many ways, he has created the fictional economy. He's created what Alan Greenspan has allowed is for the stranded, unconscious, slowly dying skier to believe that no, they're not slowly dying, they're not conserving heat towards the core. No, 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 you're in a chalet drinking a dirty martini with two really dirty underwear models, and they're not wearing panties. That's what Alan Greenspan did. He convinced the world economy they're not wearing panties. Once again, Dr. Freckles, in the fiat world, in the world of printed money, it's not prices, it's functors. Because we live in a world that has been enabled by people like Alan Greenspan, the maestro, the Fed, what was he, Federal Reserve chief for so many years. It seems like it was 20 years, but I think it was at least 15 or 10 or whatever, but it was a long time. And before then, he impacted the system as an engineer of the economic world. And afterwards, he had his confabs with Bernanke and Yellen and all the other creeps. You know, he probably even calls that Powell guy. Hey, pal, how you doing? We could reach a point of inflation vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar where you really can't quote prices. You have to quote functions. You have to quote a formula. You won't say, this is 50 bucks. You'll say, over the next 2 weeks, this is T times N squared, where N is the fiat and T is the duration. Yes, I'll make a deal. Over the next 6 months, I'll do epsilon times N factorial N divided by 23 times T divided by 3. Oh, I'll do a pricing scheme over the next 6 months using the exponential function divided by N squared times T over the 6 month period, 16 times on Sunday. That's a conditional within the domain. Those happen, you know. In the world of fiat, you can't quote prices, you quote functions. Next topic. Yep, next topic, because we're living in the time of Bo Blimtok, and if you're listening on shortwave radio, if you're listening on shortwave radio to 5950 kilohertz, this is WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, the Everglades. From the only Okeechobee, another day, the mighty Everglades. Yeah. If you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee. And if you want to look at the notes for this particular podcast broadcast, go to dfgtc.org/show notes, pick the right date, meaning the day you're listening to this, and you'll find the right notes for the right show. Assuming I wasn't drunk last night, rearranging my WordPress. People ask me, people will walk up to me as I walk down the street of Bo Blimtok. People will ask me as I walk down the sidewalk of Bo Blimtok, what do you do to look the way you do? Old people from the fringe zones, old people that live in assisted living facilities that were built over the Native American burial grounds, old people walk up to me, they ask me every day, what do you do to look like that? People ask me every day, Dan, what do you do to look that way, to look the way you do? And I, okay, before I move on, this is, okay, so I'll listen to music off of YouTube. Yeah, before I get banned, I still do Susan Wojcicki. I still listen to music off your neo-Stalinist channel, but I'll listen to music off of YouTube, and these weird commercials will pop up about your poo and about the kind of makeup you're using. It all looks like a desperate attempt at trying to cover up the fact that maybe at this point in human history, America is just one big cancer tumor. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just break your feelings? Well, you know, if you're a family living in Syria and someone just dropped a bomb on you and you found out it was a U.S. bomb and the taxpayers paid for that bomb and everyone supports the troops. So I'll watch YouTube, and every once in a while, this commercial will pop up. People ask me every day, what do I do to look the way I do? And I don't want to talk about the dude. I don't care about his product. He tells you that eating certain vegetables will make you young again, or keep you young, or keep you alert, or clean out your insides. I don't know what he does to be the way he is. I mean, I think he claims to be some kind of a doctor or healthcare professional, or I don't know, chiropractor, but I just don't know. He's probably a chiropractor. I will tell you something. And I think I'm about to offend some people, but I gotta say something, people. There are probably good chiropractors who practice, you know, physical therapy. Good. But there are some really crooked doctors out there, and guess what? There are some crooked chiropractors too. And they'll sell you these magical substances that will clean out your sphincter. But usually what you get is monkey rot. Usually what you get is a penis that turns blue. Usually what you get is something greasy. Something greasy. Something for you. People ask me what I do every day to look the way I do. I eat Droblik. I eat Droblik. I find Droblik growing near the sewers. I harvest the Droblik from the corner of my own mind. I feed the cockroaches, the bat urine. I eat Droblik. It ferments in my underwear. I eat Droblik. I suckle upon Dunkus grease. Dunkus grease that can be found when a carcass has been barely eaten by the turkey vultures. Dunkus grease that can be found on those bodies you left to ferment behind that old building in Blimpton. Dunkus grease is red and yellow and gooey. You take this and you rub it on your private parts. Dunkus grease. What do I do to look the way I do? I hunt. I hunt Jergen herders. I hunt Jergen herders. I hunt Jergen herders. Naked, covered in thorns. I hunt Jergen herders. I hate them so much. One day, they'll feel my scorn. What do I do to look the way I do? What do I do to look the way I do? What does Dan do to look? I'm more dead than alive at this point. I am more consumed by the crystal magic than the gasoline poetry. I used to ride bikes with the Hell's Angels out in the high desert. I used to be chased by those unionized thugs outside of Philly. I fought the Carthaginians in 205 BC. They cut off my balls. They buried them under the sea. How do I look the way I do? Come and see. It's the Grecian formula. It'll keep you young. Next topic. So, I don't want to talk too much about the Anthony Fauci thing. I kind of think that the Anthony Fauci drama is a lot like the Bill Gates trauma drama. And a lot of these trauma dramas are designed to confuse and to entice and to titillate and to immobilize. And if you get suckered by the trauma drama, you're probably not doing the things you're supposed to do. Let me put it this way. If you had a choice, and I would even throw this at atheists and then ask you to look at Pascal's wager, but if you had a choice between spending any time on all this BS news you get fed every day or just spending 2 minutes a day praying, 2 minutes, spend 2 minutes a day and say a prayer. If you don't believe in God, well, I don't know what to tell you to pray to, but spend 2 minutes a day. And I would suggest praying to the Lord Jesus. You can spend 2 minutes a day praying to the Lord Jesus, or you can spend hours a day consuming the news, which is mostly lies, pretty much lies. And if there's any truth in it, you kind of have to read it like Pravda or Izvestia in 1977. If there's news in it, read between the lines. I don't want to spend any time on Anthony Fauci and his emails because I think the emails are also part of the psyop. I know, Dan, no, you're a pessimist. It's all going to get better again. We're all going to be okay. We're going to get our vax cards. We're going to get our vaccines and it's all going to be okay. I don't see how, brothers and sisters. I really don't. I'll agree that things seem like they're pausing for some people. But if you're in certain parts of Canada right now, if you're in other parts of the world, I've heard Chile's pretty bad. I think Chile is in a weird lockdown where you need to email your police station to get a permit to go to the grocery store. Excuse me? So right now, you might be living in Florida, and you might think everything's okay, and God bless, because you should take advantage. You should turn off the news. You should spend time with your family. Do the work you need to do. Do the work your hands can do while your hands can do the work. Do your work. Do the work your feet can do while your feet can take you down the road. Carry the burdens you can carry while you can. That's the best advice. This life is what it is. It always was. There was never going to be a different ending for anybody. Atheist, Jew, Gentile, Buddhist, Muslim, I don't care what you believe. We were always going to come to the same end on this planet. It was always going to end the same way. We are born and then we die. So don't waste any time on the Anthony Fauci trauma drama unless you want to. I don't really care. I don't believe there's anything authentic about it. The only thing that I think is interesting is that they're doing it right now. It seems like a way to fill in time. It's filler. It's filler. They don't control the schedule. They don't control whatever it is. Whatever it is going to arrive, or another way of phrasing it, is going to be born unto its own schedule. What they do is going to have nothing to do with that schedule. It won't change it one bit. But there are new COVID variants, new monkey herpes variants. I don't know if you heard about them. There's a new COVID-19 variant. It is dangerous. It is angry. It is sweaty and greasy. It has a pot belly, a hairy chest. There's a new COVID variant with a pot belly and greasy, hairy, sweaty chest. It has one metal hand, one hook for a hand. There's a new COVID variant with a sweaty, hairy chest and a pot belly, wearing worn-out slacks and old crappy shoes with a metal hook for a hand. It's in your attic. The COVID is in your attic. It's scratching that metal hook on the ceiling. The COVID is in your attic. It's right outside your door. It's near your campfire. It's coming for you. That's right, new COVID variant coming for you. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The COVID didn't come from China. The COVID did not come from China. It came from your fear. The COVID did not come from China. It came from your fear. Dan, I got the COVID last year. I got really, really sick. I don't know what you had. Dan, my 96-year-old, I know, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry they died. They were 96 years old. I'll tell you what, after the age of 50, there's a whole bunch of stuff that can kill you. After the age of 60, there's exponentially more stuff that can kill you, and it just works like that, and it's not linear. And if you read an article, how everybody could live to be 150, well, sure. If you lived in a perfectly sealed chamber, if you had your perfectly purified food, if you slept 16 hours a day and did just enough exercise to keep yourself going, I bet you could live to be 150 in some cave. But Dan, I know. I had a family member tell me before I left Seattle, or I should say, I had a family member link the death of a friend to the fact that I questioned the COVID narrative. And this is how stuff gets done in Seattle. It's very passive-aggressive, New World Order commie. They don't have the courage to come out and say, "You murdered my friend." No, they're mostly moral cowards. So they do things like little existential drive-bys and link the death of a friend to the fact that you question the COVID narrative. Now, the friend was roughly my age, I think 50. So ergo, you know, they must have died of COVID. If my sister Nancy died of cancer today, not in 2012, but today, they would have said she died of COVID. If my father, who died in 1993, died today, they would have said he died of COVID. If my mom, who died in 2010, died today, you see the pattern here. But they tested him with a PCR. The inventor of that test said they're doing it wrong. Next. But Dan, these PhDs, listen. If you have a big enough checkbook, and central banks do, you can find a PhD to say just about anything. They are worse than hookers. In fact, I'm not gonna besmirch the reputation of prostitutes and compare them to PhDs. They are disgusting. PhDs are so disgusting at this point, Tennessee $2 hookers high on meth won't hang out with them. They're too high class for those PhDs. Won't even share their PCP. COVID didn't come from China. It didn't magic out of a bat or a monkey. It didn't come from the bottom of the ocean. COVID came from your fear. That's how psyops work. They latch on to a common fear. And man, since World War II, have all you people become hypochondriacs. You've all been told, you got this, you got that. You can take a pill for this. This pill will cure that. Just keep taking the pills. Oh, the pills are killing your, they're killing your liver. Well, you know what? We can get a liver. I can get a liver. The pills are killing your liver. Well, you know, there's this group of people in China, Falun Gong. They're very healthy. Falun Gong. They eat vegetables. Healthy things. I can get you a liver. A healthy liver. I can get you a healthy liver. Just fly to Tel Aviv. They'll stick it in you for $50,000. On a separate but related topic, and you can find these in the notes, I found this on Twitter the other day. I couldn't believe it. It came up in the news feed. Headline, China announces families can now eat three children in a major policy shift. The Chinese government's declared that every family can eat three of their children. No, not four, and they shouldn't just eat one. You can't just eat one. 30 minutes later, you'll want to eat the others. Major policy shift. This is in the notes. You can find them. Delta Foxtrot, Golf Tango, Charlie.org/show notes. That's right, if you go to dfgtc.org, you can see a screenshot. A screenshot I took of Twitter the other day, China announces families can now eat three children in a major policy shift. They used to only be able to eat one, sometimes they'd have two, but 30 minutes later, you always want to eat the other. This has been the Planetary Status Report, and this is your good friend, Dan. If you go to PayPal, and I have a link in the, but you go to paypal.com/Dr. Freckles, you can donate if you want to. There should be a link on the WRMI website. There are various ways to get this link. If you go to imsully.com, the link is there. If you want to donate, that's okay, that's up to you. But here's the deal. Take care of your family, your friends. Take care of food, water, shelter. Take care of things in your life. And then if you have a few bucks left over, you can donate if you think this show is worth supporting. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, we love to hear from you. me@imsully.com. me@imsully.com. You might hear back from me if you send me an email and Google doesn't destroy it, if the internet doesn't swallow it. Have a great one.